Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, bad boss number one, when you have directs. You know, for most of us, when we have an angry and demeaning boss, well, we tend to worry about ourselves first. Now, why not? We're the ones that have to deal with most of the yelling and most of the abuse. But if we have directs, we have an additional responsibility. And today, that's what we're going to talk about. Here we go. We talked on Career Tools about angry, demeaning bosses, and we talked about how to, you know, what to do personally if you have an angry, demeaning boss.
But right.
Most of us, when we have an angry, demeaning boss, tend to worry more about ourselves than our folks, right? We tend to think about how it's impacting me.
Right.
But we have to deal with most of the yelling and most of the abuse. But if we have directs, we got some additional responsibilities, don't we?
Yeah. Obviously, directs have less interaction with our boss than we do. They're probably somewhat sheltered. But even though they're sheltered, remember, this is a boss's boss. So that person, that role, that power that's inherent above us can be really threatening and really fear-inducing to a lot of directs.
Right.
In our case, anyway, you know, we have some kind of relationship with the bad boss. And actually, if we get more frequently, if we get the abuse or the angry or the demeaning more frequently, we can more easily develop coping mechanisms. But look, our directs are likely only to see our boss, you know, they see him or her less and perhaps see him or her at his or her worst. And look, we almost always, all of us as managers tend to underestimate how much more fear our directs feel for their skip boss, in other words, our boss, than we do. We just tend to underestimate it. Oh, he's just our boss, and yeah, that's just the way he is. But think for a moment about your boss. If you're listening now, think about your boss, and think about what you know about your boss versus what you don't know about his or her boss. And that distance, that hurts. It makes it harder. And
right.
So as managers, you're right, we got a special responsibility.
Yeah, and it's even worse than that or more challenging for you if you have directs. You have an angry or demeaning boss and you have directs. It's even more challenging because we'd never recommend that you, even under these circumstances, act unprofessionally. And acting professionally means that you can't go to your directs and simply acknowledge the fact and say, hey, we got a jerk boss. We know we have a jerk boss. So, you know, ignore him.
Can you believe that guy? This is what he did. Can you believe this? You know, yeah, I'm not surprised he did that. You know, you just have to tolerate him. He's a total, you know what, bleep, 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 bleep. Look, anytime he gives you trouble, let me know. I'll go talk to him and that kind of stuff. That doesn't work, right?
Right, right. Yeah, like ignore everything he says. Just ignore him and come to me, right? So we have to act professionally in regards to our boss with our directs. And so therein lies a challenge. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So one more thing I'll mention. It's not in the cast anywhere. I think it's important note, which is perhaps one of the most caustic or corrosive things about angry and demeaning bosses is that you might be in a meeting and your directs are sitting around complaining about something this person did. And to give you an idea of how far we're willing to go to address the word professional, it is unprofessional for you to be in a meeting and to chuckle or to laugh or to not tell people to stop when they are speaking that way about a boss that a common person would say he or she is a jerk. It's inappropriate. Now, you might agree with them in principle that he's a monster or he's a real jerk and he behaved in a jerk-like way today. And yet, as part of the organization, because the organization hasn't gotten rid of your boss, you have a responsibility not to engage in that sort of stuff. And it goes further. Your professional responsibility includes, hey, guys, cool it. And if you need words for that, it's simple. Say, hey, guys, enough. We don't do that here. If I hear other people talking about us, I tell them to stop. And I hope certainly you're not doing that at other meetings. Perhaps you have cause and it doesn't matter. We just don't talk that way about other people around here. And that comes across as a little old-fashioned to some people. And it is absolutely the professional way. And I would argue the reason it comes across as old-fashioned is because sometimes I fear that professionalism is becoming old-fashioned. It's competitive advantage, and for some, it seems to be old-fashioned.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's get to the cast itself. We've got 8 points. None are terribly long. We just want to cover each one in a little bit of detail. The first one is we're going to go back and remind everybody that you can't change your boss. We always have people joining us. This might be their first cast listening to, so we'll cover the manager tools principle that you can't change or manage your boss. Number two, do not make the big mistake that too many managers make, which is thinking of yourself as a shield for your directs. You are not. You cannot. It doesn't work. We've tried it, and we want to get that out of your head right away. That said, what do you do? And the first thing you do is you set aside time in your one-on-ones to share this approach. Okay. And by the way, you don't do this in a meeting. You do it during your one-on-ones. And then you tell all of your directs. The first thing you say is, you know, he or she is going to be direct, and at times they're going to be negative. And the two recommendations I have for you are to agree and disengage with the skip boss, if you will. Number five, we recommend that you tell your team to keep you posted. Communication to you is important in this situation. Number six is that you'll do the reporting rather than putting your directs in a situation where they're working for the boss and then they're reporting to the boss on given projects. That's dangerous for you and for them. Number seven, big one, but it comes after the others. You've got to sit down with your folks and share your boss's preferences, your work boss's work and communication preferences and so on, which references back to our managing your boss cast. And then number eight, we just want to mention two caveats, which is you've got to be careful of careerism, which happens particularly with bosses like this. And then also a lot of people mistakenly believe that all angry and demeaning bosses are high D's. Many of them are, but we just don't want you to jump to that conclusion without doing some research first, which hopefully you will have done in the sharing your boss's preferences with your team. That's the outline.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk about, and I won't do my normal, well, surely we can manage our boss. I won't do that because this is an important point. And folks come to our conferences all the time. And like clockwork, we can tell at a certain point we talk about we don't give feedback to our boss. And 50% of the people in the room, they just, their shoulders go down. They give a big sigh because they came to the conference wanting to find out one thing, which is, how do I tell my boss he's being a jerk?
Right.
And you don't. You can't change your boss. So those of you who heard this our shows before are going to want to skip this, but we're recovering here again because so many new listeners join the show each week, and every day someone comes to the site looking for one piece of advice or guidance, and this may be their first show. You talked about this earlier. And so we've got to cover this cardinal rule. This is inviolable. You can't change your boss. Don't try.
Yeah, just don't try. And sometimes I think that some of the things we tell people not to do, we obviously we like pairing it with what to do, specific behavioral things. But sometimes it's good just to avoid getting your head chopped off so you can fight another day. And too often our first instincts are to do stuff that makes sense to us. But particularly if we're fairly new to organizational life and big organizational life or political organizational life, we make silly mistakes that unfortunately the organization punishes for years to come. And we don't want that. You're just not going to change your boss. And what's more, if you're spending time worrying about your boss beyond simply trying to have an effective professional relationship with him or her, every minute you spend trying to change him and then, of course, failing. And think about it for a second, folks. I mean, how many of you want your directs to change you? And I'm talking about going beyond the concept of I'm really open to feedback. Imagine that one of your directs said to another one of your directs, okay, it's my plan in the next 6 months to change my boss's behaviors about this. You'd probably go, well, okay, good luck.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. But look, every minute you spend trying to change your boss and then failing is a minute we don't get to invest spending on developing, investing in our directs. And so it really boils down to math. Why waste time on one person when you can invest time in 10 people? So we don't recommend you try to change your boss. This cast doesn't do that. Nothing in it suggests you should try. This is about mitigating our bad bosses' bad behaviors. It's going to be frustrating. It is going to be irritating. I'm pretty certain this is going to come out in conjunction with, Mike, the cast on Angry and Bad Bosses, right?
I'm sure it will. Or
the Career Tools. So in that sense, then, one of the things I know we talk about in that cast is, you know, you may decide to leave. It may be bad enough that you may decide to leave. That doesn't mean that because you decide to leave, you can't handle every moment when you're there effectively. If not for the boss, if not for you, if not for your team, then for the organization, because if you allow yourself to cave to a bad boss and you don't engage in effective ameliorative behaviors, if you will, then you hurt the organization, and that's unprofessional as well. So what he does may be unprofessional, and being unable to change it may chafe, and you just, you know, to put it simply, we all need to get over it. I was reminded recently of, you know, praying the serenity prayer, which is, Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can change, and the wisdom to know the difference. And a bad boss's behaviors simply call for serenity. You're not going to change them.
Good. Okay. Now, our second point, which is don't think shield, is a very common mistake. And frankly, a mistake I've made in the past, which is thinking that somehow I'm going to protect all my folks from this bad boss. It didn't work for me. I suspect it's not going to work for our audience either.
Yeah. What we do is we say, hey, boss, why don't you just come through me for that stuff? Or you should, you know, I've had people actually say to other bosses, hey, you know, you should be coming through me for that. And I just have to tell you that that's a naive view of the world. We wish it were so, but if wishes were horses, beggars would ride, and this is a show about reality, we tell our directs, some people tell their directs to tell our boss, hey, look, Mark says you need to clear that with him. Or we tell our directs, I'll protect you. Try not to worry too much about her.
I wasn't a bad boss, but I had a skip tell me that one time, and my head must have done the whole exorcist spin.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What did he say to you? What was the?
Well, I asked him for some specific type of reporting on a particular project, so it was like a weekly report that does these five things, right?
Right.
And he came back to me and said, "Well, I'm gonna have to clear that with my boss first." I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You go ahead and do that.
Let me make that easy for you. I've just fired him virtually. Yeah. So now you work for me.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah. It is a terrible idea. It's blown up in the face of far too many people. You cannot deny someone up the chain of command from reaching down into the chain of command. We're not saying there aren't people in the chain of command who wouldn't do that because they feel it's disrespectful. We're talking about angry and bad and demeaning bosses here. You cannot be a shield. It doesn't work. Trying it leads to tears. Please don't do this. Don't ever think that you can be clever. Allow your bad boss to do whatever he wants in terms of going around you, because if you try to stop him, he will only irritate him and it won't work. So save your political capital for other things. Look, you're going to be telling your boss that your team is weak. You're going to be telling him that you don't trust him with your team. You're going to be telling him that your people can't handle big jobs. You're saying that your team reports to you and he isn't in their chain of command. You're going to be telling her that you don't want her to know who the good people are on your team. And he's going to tell you to get out of his way. You're going to be neutralized. And if you do it a couple of times, he's going to say, look, I'm going to give some stuff to your directs. Please don't tell them to report to you through you, because I don't trust you to tell me what I need to know from them. We don't need to play the telephone game and then discover that what they told you is different than what you told me. And suddenly we're in a pinch. It won't work. And again, you don't have the power to stop a bad boss, which reminds me, I want to say Napoleon said this, but I could be wrong. Never prohibit what you cannot prevent, and you can't prevent it. So don't bother. Spend your energies elsewhere. Let him or her talk to whomever he or she wants. And this cast is about avoiding that and putting in place certain safeguards to help your directs deal with it and to help with team morale.
Good. Now, we're going to share some advice with folks in terms of what to share with their directs about dealing with their boss, their angry, demeaning boss. So the first thing we recommend to folks is they've got to sit down with their team and share this information.
Yeah, we definitely have to talk to our folks. They're part of the organization. They need to know how to work most effectively with our boss. We just owe it to them. And look, here's what you do. You walk each direct. We take some time. We walk each direct through each of the points we're going to elaborate on here in a minute. And you basically say, look, I have some guidance for you when you end up communicating with or working with or engaging with, let's call the angry boss, Robert. Okay, I'm going to make up a name, Robert. And so I say, look, Robert's my boss. And so that means both you and I are in his organization. He's a forceful and he's a demanding person. He has high standards, which is good. I want you to know how I work with him so that when you work with him, he's going to see you as a competent professional. And this may be the most important thing about this. We alluded to this earlier talking about professionalism. There can be none of that wink, wink, kind of nudge, nudge attitude in us when we deliver this. If we say all the right words, but we behave as if everyone knows, you know, sort of quote, everyone knows this guy is a, pardon my French, an ass. So let's call a spade, but not really, because if somebody were taping this, it would be technically appropriate, but everyone would know that secretly what I'm saying is, guy's a complete jerk. And, you know, if he could be fired, I'd figure out a way to have him fired. That's the wrong way to behave. You're actually doing more damage than doing nothing, because your directs will think they're being smart by being clever with your boss, and he or she probably won't tolerate it.
And let's be clear here, because I think there will be a number of folks who will want to do this and may disregard our advice here. If you do it, it is completely and utterly unprofessional, period.
Yep.
There is no room for it. If you consider yourself a professional manager, you cannot do this.
Yeah. And again, I think there's probably some folks listening that see that as a little bit old fashioned. Well, you know, gosh, we ought to call a spade and, you know, so on. And in fact, you're going to get to a point in your career where you're going to engage in behaviors that are professional and sharp and good. And somebody a couple of levels down is going to start talking about you. And it's simply not appropriate. And, it's just wrong. I think a lot of people today think that, thanks to TV, thanks to a change in how organizations are structured and going to more flat organizations, that it's okay to talk derogatorily about other people. And it's not. It never is.
Even if you conduct yourself in a professional, completely professional way, you are going to find that folks are going to misconstrue what you say and are going to communicate it to others in a way that is not to your liking, which is one of the reasons why we suggest, unlike most times when we have information to share with an entire team, we actually suggest that you do not do this in a meeting, but rather do it during your one-on-ones.
Yeah, that was the really key point. You know, if you give the little preamble that we just mentioned, what we just said a little bit ago, you've got to do it individually. Normally, you would want to do, this is the perfect kind of thing for broadcast, right? You want everybody to hear the same message. It saves you time. But this is such a sensitive subject. Some of our directs aren't going to hear it as finely as we might be able to deliver it. It could be misconstrued. And if we deliver it in a meeting, the chances for crosstalk that create what we'll call less than a charitable subtext is really greatly increased. And there's more chances for snickers or rolling of the eyes and so on. And you're going to end up managing the meeting rather than delivering the message. And this is one of those cases where I can speak from personal experience. I did it in a meeting, and I then spent my next 3 weeks of one-on-ones deconflicting all of the stories that people wanted to share with me privately and didn't get anything done during those one-on-ones and had to deal with addressing some behaviors from the meeting. So please don't do that. It's got to be delivered individually, one at a time. And look, you're going to want to change this message slightly depending upon the likelihood of contact with this angry boss, with the competence and or the fortitude of each one of your directs. The person who you think of as your number two, who steps in for you when you're on vacation, you know, she's going to need more time with you to deal with some of the stuff. And so, obviously, during one-on-ones makes the most sense to deliver this. Yes, it will take you longer than doing it in a meeting, but sometimes taking a little bit longer, you know, we often say go slow to go fast. This is a time to go slow rather than to save time with a broadcast.
Good. And then the message we're going to deliver is somewhat direct, almost blunt, right? We're going to tell our directs that our boss is going to be direct and negative, and we're going to suggest to them that they agree and then disengage. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But the first thing we do is we start off telling them directly what's going on. And it's, to some, it's going to appear as blunt. But before we give some examples of what you might say, I like to encourage folks to listen and listen to the words we use, because they're not going to be characterizations. They're going to be behavior.
Right. And when we describe something he does, there will be ample evidence. And rather than saying he's a jerk, we're going to say he might threaten you. Now, people who threaten skip levels are jerks, perhaps. But we don't call him a jerk. We simply say he might threaten you. And if you tell your directs that he might threaten you, that will help them the first time he does it. Yeah. With the way I wrote this, was I thought it might be helpful for people to hear what it might sound like. And so we've got what amounts to a little bit of a speech here. And of course, every person listening is going to want to change this, and that's fine. But for those of you who are premium members and you got the show notes, you can download them and you could copy this in and then rework it a little bit, depending upon, obviously, your bad boss, your angry and demeaning boss. But this is the kind of thing that we would say if we were working with an angry bad boss and we were talking to our directs in a one-on-one. It would start like this. Hey, look, my boss is a very direct and forceful person. He's very successful, and you're going to hear him be negative a lot. If you're not used to feedback or being told directly what you didn't do well, he's going to come across to you as abrasive. Whether he means to or not is irrelevant. He simply believes in very direct, very unsugar-coated communications. Some people might even feel he's rude. I don't think he intends to be rude. I think he tends to be direct, forceful, and he's trying to communicate efficiently. He is a very direct communicator. He has a lot to do, and he speaks in shorthand an awful lot, which sometimes leaves the niceties back in his office. He may threaten you. He may describe your work in very negative ways, in ways that seem unpalatable to you, and you might say, I would never do that. He may ask you for some unreasonable standards. Or standards that you feel are unreasonable, when in fact he may think it's possible or doable. He may ask for work that seems to you to have an unreasonable deadline. Rather than spending our time being frustrated by him, let's focus on his behavior. And I'm telling you this, so if he does this stuff with you, your embarrassment or your concern or your fear about what he's saying about you won't be heightened by that fear or shock that people have the first few times they interact with him. Look, that would just increase the chances that you're not going to be at your best, and I don't want that, and neither do you. So with that as a little bit more insight, we have an obligation to work with him as best we can, and so I have some suggestions for you, and I would do this for any boss that I was working with, but these are the suggestions I would make for this boss. And the first thing is, you won't be very effective arguing with her. She's likely to overrule you. She does that to me. I've lost lots of arguments. And probably what will happen is, if you start arguing or disagreeing, you're going to end up just getting orders to do things. So whenever possible, agree with her as a tactic to reduce the amount of time you have to spend with her in the event that she's angry or frustrated, or in some way she demeans you. I don't think it's your responsibility to sit there and be demeaned for a number of minutes. It's not, okay? There's nothing wrong or cowardly or unprofessional in backing away from a potential conflict with somebody two levels above you in this organization. So agree with her, which will diffuse some potential tension, and then disengage as quickly as you can. When you're in a one-on-one conversation, you don't have to have a long conversation if it's difficult for you. Get what you need, and if you're feeling pressured or treated poorly, talk less. Ask fewer questions. Agree even when you're uncertain. Let me argue for you if need be. Don't argue smaller points, and frankly, don't even argue bigger points. Come back to them later through me. Summing it up, keep your interactions with him brief and professional by agreeing in general and specific and disengaging quickly. And then obviously, you need to let me know if there's something that happened that was particularly egregious, as well as what happened regarding the work product.
Exactly. Well, which leads to our next point, which is we're going to ask our directs to keep us posted. And this is an area where a lot of directs make a mistake. This is their mistake. We could do a lot of things wrong here. But this is one that directs, mistake that directs often make. They assume that because they're somehow directly working for their boss, for your boss, on this one project or task, that they therefore have to communicate directly to him and only to him.
And the boss might say that too.
Exactly. To be really clear, this is wrong for the organization. They have other things they're doing, and you can't manage that work unless you know what they're doing. It's also wrong for the direct. Frankly, they're not going to be as good a communicator with your boss as you are. You have a better relationship. You've been working with them longer. You know how to communicate clearly with them. And so they're going to need your help on some of the communications. So for every task or project that you're working on, this is what I'm telling my direct right now. For every task or project you're working for the boss on, keep me posted on everything so I can make the reporting for you. The more I know about what you're doing and why, the more I'll be able to deconflict issues for you with him.
Yeah. What you say to a direct is, before he knows, I want to know. And you don't have an obligation to report directly to him if I take over that obligation for you. Now, there are subtle situations or rare situations where the boss says, no, don't go to your boss, come directly to me. And we're actually recommending in that situation to countermand that as a boss and to say to your direct, no, come through me, I'll take over the reporting. Now, if you get hammered 3 or 4 times, okay, fine. Then you have to let your directs go directly to him or her. And in that case, then you have to say, look, I want to know in advance of him knowing. And then I want you to come out of the meeting with him. And I want you to tell me what he's doing. Now, there are people who have said to me, Mark, that just seems like a lot of additional communication. And I say, yeah. Yeah. And when I work with difficult customers, I have to over-communicate. And when we don't have the data, we have to go out and find it. And it takes a lot of time. And I don't have data experts working for me. Sometimes we have to do things that are harder, that are slower, that are inefficient. And frankly, in organizations where there is a vertical structure, which is to say every organization I know of, there's going to be power issues. And power improperly wielded leads to a lot of extra work. And people don't ever seem to make that connection. The abuse of power is an incredible inefficiency in organizations. If humans behave like blocks, right, rather than straggling after ripe blackberries, everything would be fine. But we're not.
Yeah.
And so these are things we recommend because we have seen other choices fail and we have seen this path work.
Right. So let's make that really clear because there's two pieces there. One is we want our directs to keep us informed, and I call this the no surprises rule. Whatever you're doing with my boss directly, if you're my direct, I want to know what's going on.
Right.
One, so I can intercede for you or help you, and secondly, to make sure the boss is getting what they need out of the engagement. But there's a second part of there. You talked about reporting, and are you suggesting that even though the boss, your boss, has asked your direct for reporting for him or her, that you're actually going to have the direct come to you and you're going to do the report?
Yeah. Until we lose the battle repeatedly with our boss. And yes, and for those of you who are saying, gee, that sounds risky. My answer to that is, yes, it is. And so is letting your boss go an in run around you, you not knowing what he or she is asking your directs to do, and your directs pulling their hair out without you being aware of the cause of that hair pulling. So yes, we recommend you eliminate your direct's responsibility for reporting on their work to your angry boss, period. And look, now, okay, what does that mean? The immediate thing it means is whatever deadline your angry boss gave to your direct, you've got to accelerate that deadline and be prepared for it. If the angry boss wants it from them on Tuesday at noon, you'll probably want to see it by Tuesday at 8 a.m. or even Monday close of business. And angry and demeaning bosses often have short timelines, and that creates additional work for you. And that goes back to our point about inefficiency. Yes, that's probably true. And we still believe that the additional work that we're creating in this situation to protect your directs is a less inefficient approach to an angry and demeaning boss than simply allow them to run amok among your team. And to be clear, our directs do not owe this work to us at the old boss's deadline, or at the old deadline that was originally given, we've got to have time to process the status and make adjustments if necessary. And clearly, what we don't want to be doing is saying to our directs, have it to me at 8 a.m, and then us not get to it and have us fail to deliver it to the angry boss on time, and then have the angry boss take that out on our direct.
Good. Now, we shared earlier some advice in terms of what we suggest that the manager would communicate to her directs relative to the work with this angry, demeaning boss. But that's kind of more of a general statement. We shared some things. Wow, it's been a while, but we did a cast. I think we called it Managing Your Boss, which is interesting. I think it's one of the examples where we used a title that was designed to generate some buzz or excitement, get people's attention, versus be an accurate representation of what we're going to say on the cast. And I don't know, maybe we'd do that again, maybe we wouldn't. But we really, as we talked about earlier, we absolutely don't believe you can manage your boss. You cannot. But in that cast, we shared 5 areas for you to be knowledgeable about and to focus on your relationship with your boss.
Yeah.
And we're suggesting here that would be good information to share. You might do this for your boss, whether they're an angry, demeaning
boss
or not.
Yeah.
But in this case, for an angry, demeaning boss, it's even more important. We suggest that you really share this with your directs.
Yeah. If you know it and you don't tell them, even if it takes you days and it seems frustrating to learn this stuff, you've got to share it with them so they can have tools to reduce the chance for conflict. And now, we're not going to go through them in detail now, but let's go over briefly the 5 areas and then encourage everybody to go back and listen to the Manage Your Boss cast, which I want to say probably came out in 2005.
I'll put the link to that show up on the show notes, so it's easy to get to.
So the first thing you've got to know is boss goals. You know, some sales managers really go for profit and others go for revenue. And remember, what you take for granted about what your boss's job is, your directs may not know. They may not know what your boss is on the hook for. It may be efficiency. It may be productivity. It may be sales. It may be financial analysis that saves money and he's got savings targets or what have you. You've got to share your boss's goals, both organizationally demanded from your boss, as well as those things that your boss is working on that are important projects or major themes or key initiatives. That's the first thing. And we trust our directs to know all this stuff and then draw reasonable conclusions about what that might mean for them when they're in a discussion with our boss. So boss goals. Boss communications is second. And what we mean by that is, how does the boss like to be communicated to? Now, we have a special caveat about that coming up, but, you know, does she prefer email to voicemail? You know, what kind of emails does she like? In a meeting, how does she prefer people behave? Those kinds of things are important to share with your directs, especially when you have an angry or demeaning boss. Your boss's schedule and how he or she handles time management issues. You know, if Wednesday morning your boss meets with the CEO at 10 o'clock, you don't want to try to get your boss's time, nor do you want your directs running into his or her office at 8 o'clock in the morning. They are going to be consumed with between 8 and 10 in the morning with meeting with the CEO. You've got to let your folks know that. And if he has a big meeting with his boss, who's also demanding at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning, you can bet there are going to be a whole bunch of new deliverables coming out of his office from him and his admin sometime noon Wednesday on. That's just the way things work. Letting people know that, telling them the rhythm and the pace of things because of your boss's time management tendencies, very, very helpful. Also, your boss's work style. How deeply involved he likes to be in things. She may be very hands-off, even though she's very aggressive in terms of assigning things. You know, don't give me details, just give me finished work. Other bosses say, you know, give me step 1, step 2, and step 3 so I can constantly be guiding you. You'll definitely want to share that. And then lastly, relationships that the boss has. Now, an angry and demeaning boss, it's probably harder to figure out who their relationships are. And it may be that they don't have any really tight relationships, but they have some that are okay, and some perhaps that are toxic. And you don't want one of your directs having to make a decision in a meeting with one of your boss's peers, perhaps, when they don't know that boss's peer and your boss are deadly enemies. I wish it weren't so, but again, this is not a reality show. It's a show about real life.
Right.
And so you've got to let people know, your directs, who your boss's allies are and unfortunately who his enemies are. Not that they're going to be clever and come up with a perfect answer every time, but those kind of things, these are the things that make bosses tick to us, makes it easy for us to work with them. And if you don't give it to your directs, we feel like not sharing the tendencies, you increase the chances for conflict between her and your directs.
Yeah, it would be silly for you not to know this so that you can improve your relationship with your boss and be more effective with your boss.
Yes.
If that's true, then to know this information and not share it with your directs just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
Good. So take care of yourself and go learn this stuff about your boss and then turn around and share it with your directs.
Yeah, you know what? Good point. You have to go learn it. And with an angry or demeaning boss, it's easy to see them through a haze of the angry and demeaning. And it may be harder to get at some of these details. So you may have to work a little longer on it. And it may be that you know they're angry and demeaning. You want to have this meeting with your directs. And yet you'll say, look, in the next month, I'm going to be giving you more information about, you know, his style and his communications and his work style and relationships and so on. I'll be sharing that with you to help you because he likes to reach around me in the organization. We can't stop that and we're not gonna, but we're going to come up with some ways to mitigate the difficulties that takes for us because we're all fully busy here as well.
Right. You can't change your boss, but you can change your own behavior. And if you know your boss gets angry when she gets long, rambling emails instead of direct and to the point,
then
you can't change your boss, but you sure as heck can change your own behavior and send different types of emails, right? So why wake the dragon if you don't need to?
Yeah.
So that said, we have a couple caveats, though, that we need to share with folks, I think.
Yeah, the first one's kind of disappointing, but it's happened to me often enough. I've been caught by surprise by it. I've stumbled relative to it. I've seen others sort of surprised by it. They just assume that people know better, but it's pretty clear that people don't. And that is, be careful of people who like the idea of being exposed to a boss's boss because they're interested in furthering their career. Some of our directs will like the attention of a more senior person. They're going to fawn over that attention. They're going to want to be closer to our boss, however angry he or she might be. We're not suggesting you can change this. It's unlikely you'd be able to. But knowing that some of your folks may like the spotlight, even when it burns them, may help you manage them as their sort of angry boss assigned tasks. It'll help you in dealing with that. You may find that they don't shy away. They don't agree and disengage. They think they can, you know, mix it up with the senior person. And maybe, in fact, they have the skills to do so. But our point is, don't assume that everybody will take everything you say as manna from heaven and then simply behave perfectly. There are some people who are going to like that attention, and you may have to spend a little extra time, and you may spend more time deconflicting with them. Now, the angry boss may love them. We can't say what the particular situation is. We can say some people take to senior visibility in a good way, and you might say to yourself, well, he's sucking up, he's kissing up, and maybe that's so, but you need to consider that in terms of managing their relationship. And it doesn't mean you should get out of the way totally, because if they're fairly inexperienced, if they're somewhat inexperienced and they like the attention because they think they're going to get promoted by it, and then they get burned a couple of times, they're going to blame you in part. And so would we in part if you weren't giving them the benefit of your knowledge and expertise relative to your relationship with the boss.
Now, folks also may be assuming that this angry, demeaning boss, that she's a high D communicator, one of those, you know, dominant, task-focused, assertive, forceful bosses. In fact, many times that is true, right? But the danger is that you're already formulating how to communicate with her. Short emails, no emotions, no emoticons, no signature blocks, bottom line up front, all those things that we've talked about
right. in and
some
those
of
are good.
Our discasts.
If you're right.
If you're right. So, and in most cases, you're going to be right. But, you know, it's probably worth sitting back a second and thinking about it a little bit before just going to autoresponder mode.
Right.
What we're suggesting here is that having a communication plan based on the natural tendencies of a boss is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
But don't assume your rule of thumb is always true. Take some time, get to know the communication preferences of your boss, and then respond accordingly.
Yep, exactly. And we touched on that earlier in boss communications. I knew as we were talking about this cast that there would be a theme of anger and demeaning in those people who know DISC. And if you don't know DISC, we encourage you to try it. It's one of our favorite tools in the world, and there aren't as many good, solid, objective analytical tools as we'd like, and we're hoping to change that in the next few years. But regardless, take your time, do your homework, and then feel good that you have data to support your conclusion rather than simply saying, oh, I know who she is. That's not an effective way to go through this difficult situation.
Good. All right. You want to recap what we covered real quick? Just to remind people of where we come from.
Okay. So you can't change your boss. Let's get that through our heads. Don't try to shield your people. It doesn't work, right? It's like the old lipstick on the pig. Don't try to put lipstick on a pig because it doesn't improve the looks of the pig, and the pig doesn't like it either. It's inefficient and ineffective both. Take some time to share your approach with each one of your directs, not in a meeting. You're going to do it in your one-on-ones. Okay. You got to do this individually. Be very direct with your directs and say, he's going to be direct and he's going to be negative. And the solution to that is to agree and to disengage as quickly as you can. Keep me posted on everything. And we should have said this earlier. CC me on everything that you send to the boss so I know what's going on. I'll do the reporting. Don't report to the boss. I'll take care of the reporting when they ask you to do stuff directly. Share the boss's preferences with your directs. So in terms of work style, communication, and so on, let your team know how he or she tends to work. Lastly, be careful of those folks who actually like being in the spotlight with an angry boss. They might get burned and you may have to do triage after the fact. And then again, don't just jump to the conclusion that they're a high D. Take the time, learn their communication preferences. That's the best way to be effective in this thing, in this situation.
Good. Awesome.
All right. Thanks, partner.
Thank you. That's it, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. If you got any feedback for us, send us an email, show@manager-tools.com, or join us in the discussion forums, www.managertools.com/forums. Just a quick reminder, slots are filling up quickly for our April 21st Dallas, Texas, one-day effective manager conference. If you're interested in joining us, please check it out on the website, www.managertools.com. Hope to see you there. So long, folks.